Hi, I'm Steph.
And I'm Jules.
And welcome to The Babesment.
Steph is a body positive photographer.
And Jules is an intuitive eating and body image coach.
And we're passionate about empowering people to own their bodies and themselves so that they can live their biggest, boldest lives.
So join us as we celebrate the stories of incredible humans and the bodies they've lived them in. Welcome to The Babesment. We're back.
That's Steph.
That's Jules.
Hi.
We did an intro for the first time all year.
It's been a while.
It's been all year.
It's been a while.
And that's still not even really what it was. But anyway.
I know. We used to be so like, hey,
we used
Steph,
to try so hard. And then now we basically like lay upside down on the couch and just talk about whatever we want. And you sing.
Maple was sandwiched between us for most of it. And then did you see when... So Maple got off the couch and she went to the other side of the couch. And
she tried to come back,
but the laptop was in the way.
And she struggles with it.
She thought about it. I thought she was actually going to try. And I was like, oh God, she might actually like hit the laptop off of the little platform we have.
Honestly, I don't even trust her anymore after the time that she leapt over the back of the outdoor couch.
That happened.
And onto my lap.
That was the most athletic thing Maple's ever done in her life.
She leapt at least 3 feet in the air. I had no idea she had it in her.
When you combined her bestie Steph with cheeseburgers.
Yeah, it was me.
Motivate Maple to do anything.
And the baby pool was blocking the regular entrance to the couch. Right. So she leapt over the back of it.
It
and
was
then
insane.
Was trapped.
It was like she thought she was a 20-pound dog. Because you know how like little dogs will like leap onto the back of a couch?
Yeah.
And that's like a normal thing for like a
so
little dog.
It was so agile.
As a 100-pound dog, you're just flying through the air.
And I was like, save the cheeseburgers. And so I caught her so that she wouldn't fall in the cheeseburgers. And I was very proud of myself. But then we had to call Alex to come lift her up out of her seat on me because
we did.
She couldn't go in the pool.
Thank God he was home. What would we have done if he was not home to save us?
I don't know. I really don't know.
It was really something.
Yeah.
Anyways,
welcome back to The Babesment.
Welcome back to The Babesment.
Who do we have today?
We had the amazing Pallavi and Amia from the Fatso podcast.
This was the best.
Another international episode. We decided that they are our twins over in India.
Yeah, twins across the world.
Twins across the world.
They host an amazing podcast and they are just two really like badass women.
So badass.
They are so cool. Our conversation with them was so amazing to talk about the differences, but also major similarities between our cultures and growing up with fat phobia and all of these things. And they shared so much about themselves and their lives. And it was really incredible. And I'm so excited for you all to hear it.
Yeah. This could have been like a 6-hour long episode easily.
For sure.
We could just keep talking to them forever because they're awesome.
Freaking for sure. Hi, friends. Before we hop into the episode, just wanted to let you all know we have a little bit of a content warning. We do talk about some abuse and some difficult things in the episode, but there's also a lot of really beautiful conversation. So if that is something that may be triggering for you, we just want to let you know before we dive in. Thanks.
Well, welcome. We've officially pressed record, so we are in it. We have Amia and Pallavi from the Fatso podcast with us today, and we are so excited. I have been following you both on Instagram for some time now, and I love your content. I love your energy. I love just who you are, and when you guys said yes to this podcast, I was like, woohoo! Like,
it was a big celebration.
Yeah, it was. So welcome.
Yay! We're very excited to be here. It was super fun to be asked. Like, we always feel like so fancy when like, you know, fancy people in other countries are all like, come be on our podcast. We're like, for me? Hi, little me?
Yes, you.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
We fell for your name, the whole Babesment, and we were like, that's it. We've got to be there.
Well, oh my gosh. Funny. So you both have your podcast together. And obviously, we're co-hosts of our podcast. And when I found you guys, I was like, oh my God, they're just like an Indian version of Steph and me. Like, they're like, just they're like your energy, like everything. I was like, I love them. Like, they're us. Like, we'd be best friends.
Oh my gosh. We are super happy that you all could join us. It's like 7 p.m. there-ish. Yeah. And it's like 9 a.m. Here. So we're just like hanging out across space and time. I'm really into
how
that.
How cool is that?
Like, thank you, internet, for making this possible.
So tell our listeners who you are, what you do, where you're from, all that good stuff as we get into the episode.
As long as you love me.
I'm going to start singing some NSYNC.
All right. I don't care who you are, where you're from.
I don't care what don't you, care
what
do.
You do. See? As long as you love me.
Oh, you are just like us.
I knew it. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're gonna have a party.
Maple, you can't block my view. This
Maple's
dog.
Like, Maple's like, they started singing.
Sure,
it's happening.
She can do anything.
Oh my gosh. This is her.
No, I mean, I just couldn't do this. I felt like it would be a good point to date myself. Guys, I was like 15 when that song came out.
Oh,
same.
Yeah. Like, so yeah.
So, P, should I go first?
Of course.
Alrighty, so you take the next one first, okay? Let's sort this order thing out. You think we'd have it down by now. Okay, so I am Amaya. What do? I do nothing at the moment. I am unemployed. I am doing some freelance editing work and I'm doing some work on Fatso. And I tell myself that I'm working on some wonderful plans for the future, but mostly I'm binge reading a sci-fi series that I was recently introduced to. And I am trying to knit all the yarn in the world.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. I'm a very, very amateur crocheter. Haven't gotten into knitting, but that's very cool. Sci-fi is badass. And of course, your podcast. And you, I mean, as you were telling us, like, you edit your own podcast. So that's
amazing.
That's pretty amazing.
That's true. I mean, I got into podcasting kind of by accident because I got an MBA and then I came back and I couldn't find any work. Mm-hmm. And someone I know was appointed the head of the digital part of a big news organization. Yeah? And she said, look, I want to do podcast one try and do that with me as like an internship for a bit. And then I did. And then she made me maybe set up the whole team, blah, blah, blah. I was there for a year. But while I was there, I had to do everything because I was making a prototype. So I had to listen to like all the podcasts that were exciting everywhere in the world and like figure out why they were exciting and how to make this work and blah, blah, blah. And for like 2 weeks, I recorded a daily news podcast with a Mac.
Wow.
So I basically had a Mac. I would walk up to someone's desk and say, okay, answer these questions while recording directly into a desk. And then I stole some free music off of YouTube and I made this. It was really, really bad. Like when we hired a producer and actually learned about how to record and how to edit the cross fades and room noise and stuff like that, I was like, oh boy. But that's why I already know how to do it. But that's our amazing. Newest adventure, which both of us are doing, is we are learning to edit video.
Yeah.
Oh, it is, wow.
Wow. So then will Fatso be both audio and video, or is the video for a different project?
Yeah, we started a YouTube channel.
Nice.
That's awesome.
It's been about 6 weeks, I think. We've got 3 videos up.
Wow.
We put one up every 2 weeks. The reason we decided to do this actually is because a lot of people in India say do this content in other languages in India. And we want to. It's just that we are not fluent enough to have any sort of free-flowing conversation in any other language except English. So we thought we'd make these short 8 to 10 minute videos about certain topics and then we could have them translated and then learn that stuff by heart and then sort of dub it or put in subtitles.
Wow.
Oh, so cool.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
That's sick.
And where in India are you? I realize I don't know.
We are actually in Delhi, which is the capital.
I've been to Delhi.
Yeah.
I've been. What a cool, cool city.
No. Well, yeah. I mean, everyone's been. It's either Delhi or Bombay, right?
Yeah, right. We went, my brother and sister-in-law used to live in Thailand, and we went to India on the way because it's a long flight, and we were like, well, it'd be really cool to see the Taj Mahal. And, you know, I've never been to India. What an amazing culture to experience. And it was really phenomenal. Really,
good.
Really
I'm glad
phenomenal.
You had a good time.
Oh, my gosh.
Where are you guys?
We're in Columbus, Ohio. So.
Oh, my God. Columbus, Ohio. Do you know my favorite writer of romance novels I don't know if she lives in Ohio, but all her books are in Ohio.
I love romance novels. So tell me, please.
Oh my God. So her name is Jennifer Cruzy, and she hasn't put out a new book in about 15 years, but she is amazing.
But okay. All her books are set in Columbus?
Not in Columbus,
but in Ohio.
In Ohio.
I don't know what
funny.
Her deal is with Ohio.
Oh my
okay,
God.
Okay, well, I got to check her out.
Yeah, we're going to have to look her up. Oh my God.
I can send you links.
Amazing. Amazing.
So yeah, that is me with some long tangents.
Love it. Well, we're all about it.
We're about that.
We're all about tangents. Pallavi, how about you? Yeah.
So, about me. Well, what I'm doing right now is very exciting because I have finally, after many, many years of trying, found spaces of work which I really love. So I consult with entrepreneurs. I co-host a podcast with Maya, and I what is called a life book leader, where I take people through 12 categories of their life over a 6-week program, and I help them deep dive into it, create goals, track their habits, etc., etc. And why I am able to do that is because I'm a brain-based coach. I've worked with 800 people across the world in coaching them. And I've also had a 19-year career in HR. So from a work perspective, that's a lot of stuff. And yes, Maya and I live together. So while we're taking these calls in two separate rooms with two separate cats, we have a lot of fun doing this together as well. So yeah, that's me.
Amazing.
That sounds incredible.
Seriously, seriously incredible. Well, what a powerhouse team we have here. I love it. So why don't we dive into our first question? Because I'm so excited to hear how you guys got into the work that you do with the Fat So podcast. But I know that we're going to get there through our first question. So it's always funny having two guests, right? Because I'll have to have you each answer this question. But the question is, Steph.
Yes. So our first question that we like to ask everyone on the podcast is, can you tell us a bit about what your relationship with your body was like when you were young? And whoever would like to go first can go first. I don't like to call on people. Pallavi's going to go first.
I mean, we kind of have a system.
Do you go back and forth with who like answers first? Okay,
love it.
I can
love
rock with
it.
That.
We can
Let's
rock.
Do it.
We can jam. We can vibe.
My relationship with my body while I was growing up was deeply traumatic. My mom was very fat phobic, and she basically put me on a diet when I was 5 years old. So The dialogue throughout my childhood as I was growing up was, you will never be enough. Until you lose the weight, you will never be enough. So I overcompensated in so many ways. I always had to come first in class. I had to, you know, do all kinds of things. I mean, all kinds of curricular activities. And I had to win at them so that, you know, I could prove myself, which was all very good because it was great training for me now. But there was always this thing of, well, as long as you're fat, you will never be enough. You will never find love. You will never find a relationship that's good for you. You will never have sex. You will never get married. And after a point, the refrain became, you're not going to find a good job. People who interview you will reject you, et cetera, et cetera. And for me, this was just like, okay, but I'm going to do it nevertheless. And then I'd do it, you know, and then there would still be something else. And then I'd do it. And then there'd still be something else, you know, so it just went on. Of course, I went on multiple diets. I lost 20 kilos, put back on 30 kilos. I lost 40 kilos, I put back on 50 kilos. So that was constant. And that continued into my marriage because my husband and his family were fat phobic. I got married when I was 24. And, you know, there was still that whole thing of, you know, you need to lose weight. Otherwise, you know, there was always this sometime in the future, Pallavi will lose weight sort of thing. And it was just, I mean, it affected everything. It infected everything is what I would say, because I would still go on and do incredible things, but there was always this not taking risk, not taking too much risk, because let me just settle with what I'm able to do with ease. Let me not really reach for all the things I want to do. And that pretty much continued till I was 35, and I had been on the NF diet and NF exercise program and failed at it. And I was just deeply depressed because I was at my heaviest weight ever. People were saying bariatric surgery. I have no wish to do that, to cut my body up and, you know, stuff like that. Mm. And I was just basically thinking of jumping off the balcony because I was like, I'm never going to lose it. I'm never going to be that person. And it will never be that. So.
There's so much there. You know, it's so hard growing up in a world that's so fat phobic. From the age of 5, as you were saying, 5 years old, being put on diets and being told these things. Oh, you're never going to fall in love. You're never going to get the job. You're never going to do all these things. What was really neat was hearing you say, like, well, I would actually still go and do them. Like, actually, I did. And I did the thing, you know, and that's really cool to hear. But then it sounded like there was this fog still that kind of surrounded you, right? As you're doing these things, it's still this thing like, oh, but you need to lose weight. Oh, but you not quite good enough. Oh, no, right? And until you just felt like, oh my God, it's never enough. And I can't do it.
Yeah,
and I keep, quote, failing.
I would constantly be told, you're a ticking time bomb. You're a defective piece. You know, that's what it was. And I would say to myself, I would wake up in the morning, look at myself and say, it doesn't matter. You got that promotion. Great. But look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You look horrible. You better get on to that diet because the next promotion's not coming along, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's like you assume that even if you do achieve things, that it doesn't really count because you're not thin. And you know, even if you got the promotion, even if you got whatever it was like, oh, well, that was just a fluke. I'm not really going to get these things. I don't really deserve these things because I don't have the proper body. And I was really drawn to what you said, saying it actually infected everything in your life versus affected everything. Because I think thinking about it that way really like hit something in me where I'm like, yeah, you're so right. It is like an infection. Like, it's contagious. It just seeps into every aspect of our lives where we start like only seeing things through the lens of diet culture and only through the lens of this fat phobia that we all carry.
It's so interesting too, because obviously, you know, growing up in India is different than growing up in America. And yet your story sounded a lot like ours. You know what I mean? And it's just like, it sucks that like fat phobia is just so pervasive, you know, throughout so many cultures that we can grow up literally across the world from each other in very different cultures. And this is the common theme. Like, you know, it's just like, I hate that. So tell us, like, what was your turning point? How did you go from that version of yourself who just was so depressed, just was like so at her wit's end, you know, was being told to get surgery but didn't want to do that? How did you go from her to the version of you today?
I am someone who started meditating when she was 11 years old because for me, the world always contained a lot more than what I felt and saw and stuff like that. And I did all kinds of courses, alternative healing therapies, Reiki, blah, blah, blah. So it's not that I'm a healer, but it's just that every course that I did spoke about accepting things, loving things, you know, making peace with things, trying to stretch yourself to do more, et cetera, et cetera. And I was a coach and I've worked with 800 people. So that too was, you know, it kind of shifts your perspective because you know that there's more to, you know, you're just constantly working on yourself. I was just constantly working on myself. And I was able to resolve a lot of my issues in other areas of life. A lot of them, not all of them. I still have many. But, you know, it was a work in progress. And it happened in all other areas of my life. But when it came to my body and who I am, I was always stuck. So I gained confidence everywhere else. But here, where it came to, you know, being in my body, I was still stuck. And I reached such a low point that, you know, I literally sat myself down and said, look, Pallavi, either it's over or you have to just say, fuck it and move on. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just two options. And in the process of working on other areas of my life, there were certain things that happened, like, I was confident in the kind of clothes I would wear, or, you know, I did know that some people would look at me and say, oh, you look pleasant, you may be fat, but you look pleasant, you know, those underhanded compliments. So in some ways, all of that was happening, but it just, I just never felt happy in my body. And I was looking for something on the internet, and I found, in fact, I was looking for, can I wear a black bra and a white top? Because I was like, I want to wear contrasting bras, because I just spent a load of money on bras, and I was like, why the fuck can't I show?
Yeah,
that as a style statement.
I love it.
And I came across Tess Holliday, and my eyes fell out of my, you know, it was at midnight. My husband was asleep beside me, and I was doing this on my phone, and I was like, holy cow, who is this? And I was like, this woman, she looks like me. Her body looks like me. And look at her living her life. And if that is possible, what on earth am I doing? You know? And that just completely blew my mind and just shifted me into a different reality altogether. And I then found Substantia Jones, I found Virgie Tova, I found Regan Chaston, started reading, I just spent so much time with these women on the internet. And then what I did was I said, let me look in India. So I started, Googling for India, and I found this page called Plus Size Models India. All of this was happening in 2014 when I was 35. And I found them, and they were just so willing to, you know, welcome me. And I sent them my photographs. I was published in the Times of India, which is a daily newspaper with quite wide reach. And then I was published in another magazine as this plus size model. Look at the confidence. I mean, that just changed my life. You know, there was just no looking back. And as I just sort of fell into this comfort with my body, it was an easy switch because I'd worked on so many other things, you know, that I was primed to make that switch. Mm-hmm. And it was just then looking at the world from a different lens altogether. And I got so much external validation all of a sudden, you know. So that was great as well. And I think, it was just that the thing that kept coming back was, what about your health? What about your health? You know, that's great. You're confident, you're positive, blah, blah, blah. But what about the fact that you're unhealthy? You can hear Sheru.
Animals are always welcome on the basement.
Always welcome on the basement.
Mabel is resting.
I was just thinking, wait, is that a kid or is that Sheru screaming for attention?
Mabel is asleep on my foot, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh boy. So anyway, at the same time, I went for something called the Walk of Hope, and I walked 2,500 kilometers over 100 days across India.
Wow.
I mean, in bits and pieces, but over a period of a year and a half, I did this walk.
Wow.
And, you know, I was like, I can walk at the same pace as these slim people. There's something going on here that, you know, There's some disconnect over here.
Yeah.
Which is when I started researching again. And by then I'd read Regan Chaston and all that. So I knew there was more to all of this.
Yes.
And I came across Lindo Bacon's At Every Size.
Yes.
Is that not totally life-changing? I will always remember when I first read that book too, because you're just reading through it and like your mind is being blown, but at the same time it makes sense, right? It's like there's this part of you that kind of always knew this somewhere deep down. And then so when you're reading it, you're like, holy shit, but also, yeah. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. That's what happened to me. And I was like, oh my God. I was very angry because I was like, fuck this world.
Yep.
You know, what lies? And I was very angry with doctors. I still am, have to admit.
Yeah.
But I was also so relieved and I felt so validated. And the only thing was I was very alone because everything was happening on social media and through books. There was nobody I could talk to.
Yeah.
I would try and reach out, but, you know, nobody really understood or things like that. And then in 2016, Kat Posey from New Zealand, she connected with me because she found me on social media and she was doing interviews of women across Asia. And she did this first podcast interview with me. And I was like, the first time I spoke to a woman who had the same experience and body as mine. And I was like, okay, we have to have these conversations. But the next 3 years were pretty much a blur because I was working really hard. And then in 2019, I was out of a job and, sort of trying to figure out what to do. And I met Mia. And the thing about meeting Mia was, you know, this total Brad Parry who connected. And the thing about her, which I wanted to mention earlier, was I had never heard a podcast before I met her. I have never, ever.
I love it.
Before
I am here to tell you that Pallavi was like, let's make a podcast. I'm like, okay, what's your favorite podcast? She's like, I've never listened to a podcast. I'm like, okay.
I love that so
much.
That's
amazing. That's amazing. Oh my God.
So, and the reason I come to that in terms of my journey of transformation is because there's so much more that's happened after the podcast, but I will leave that to later.
Yeah.
So this was...
Isn't it amazing to think? And this is where like social media can be exhausting and it can be really hard, but it can also be amazing. And it can be amazing for really, look at your story, right? You come across Tess Holliday and that was obviously such a turning point for you. And just seeing this amazing person, you know, live in her body, live her life in a way that you never saw before. You know what I mean? It was like, wait a minute. I can exist in my body and like she is. Oh, this is incredible, right? And how that alone, her example of how she's living her life set you on your course. And I think it is really neat to, because I am also a coach and, a mindset coaching background. And so it's neat to see where you're like, you know, I'd worked in all these other areas of myself. And so I was kind of primed so that once you kind of saw, oh, it's actually possible like to live in the body I have, you know, full out, you know, that you were able to make that switch and then kind of diving in and finding other people. And then, then you find the health at every size. And then it's like, oh, and that's kind of like the last missing puzzle piece of like, oh, wow, like, there's that piece, which is just really, really, really neat. And I mean, it was in 2019 that you and I really like...
We started working together at the very beginning of 2019. We had been friends for a little bit, but we started doing like live events here. And then we started the podcast at the very beginning of 2020.
It was just the same thought as you. It was, you know, her and I had kind of... She came to my cycling class and we had both kind of started our own businesses around the same time. We're like, why haven't we like gotten coffee to talk about what we do? It's very similar, but different because she does photography and I do coaching. And we had this conversation, you know, all about body image and whatnot. And it was very similar to what you said. We're like, we need to have more of these conversations with more people and bring more people into the loop. So it's just neat. There's so much commonality, which I love so much. Mia, let's hear from you.
You. Okay. So the thing with Pia and me is what I love about us is that we are, despite the fact that we draw upon this gigantic ocean of shared experiences in some ways, because we are fat women in a fatphobic world, but we've also had such dramatically opposite experiences of so many things as well. Mm. And our general approaches are also really, really quite different because I am Miss intellectual, rational, analytical, logical, and Pallavi is much more emotionally aware and connected to the spiritual. And it's really lovely to see what that has done for me as well in terms of me less rigid and less of one of those, you know, asshole people who's like, I'm sorry, Dish no say anything evidence and that's true, so it can be true. Which is not how science actually works. But anyway. So I was fat. I mean, I got fat when I was about 8. And my family is very, very wonderful. Especially my immediate family, but even my extended family in many ways. And actually, you know, one of the weird things about India is that one of the ways where we are different from the West is we have there's a acceptable fat zone. where it's, oh my God, you're too thin. People will think you're starving. It's a mo, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Right? So there's that line also that you have to walk, because people get thin shamed a lot as well, which of course, as we all know, is not the same as fat shaming, etc. So I was very lucky. My parents would be like, no, you need to run around. You need to move more. You need to stop eating junk food. Because I was like, I don't eat this. I don't even eat potatoes and sugar. To be fair, that's about 70% of my...
I love potatoes and sugar.
Same.
Just not together. I have yet to reach the point where I love them together.
Yeah, but hey. Very true. Very true.
But separately.
The future awaits.
Hell yeah.
Vodka and french fries. But anyway, so I got a lot of it more from the outside world. Like I would get, like people on the street would laugh at me, or kids would make fun of me, or... in school, as I got older and had adolescence, it got really hard because all I had to do was be friends with a boy and then he would be humiliated, right, by everyone else. And of course, when I started getting interested in men, I was like, well, of course, it never worked, etc., etc. And in many ways, I always used to say that, you know, because I've been pretty much single my whole adult life, except for one brief 20-month period. And I always used to say that I have this theory about how there are three strikes you can have as an Indian woman. You can be smarter than the men. You can be not pretty like on TV. And you can be independent. And they take two. But if you have all three, there's no. Right? So I was like, in that sense, that was the thing for me. So my fatness was always negotiated in that space of, will somebody love me or will they not? And you know, like when I was in school, I would, in college, I would like be into some guy or whatever. And like the first guy I was madly in love with, he got drunk at a party and he kissed me. And I was like, oh God, he likes me back! Because he knew I liked him. Because he was a very close friend. And except he would look me in the eye for a couple of days. And then eventually he's like, you know, you're only attractive when I'm drunk. I carried that with me for a very long time.
Yeah.
I mean, there were reasons or whatever. But at the end of the day, he did something quite awful to me, whether he meant to or not. And at the end of the day, I carry that with me a long time. I still carry that with me today sometimes. You know, it just pop up when I'm interested in a guy and he sort of fades out on me. It's like, yeah, of course, he's not really into me. He can't possibly be into me. Mm. Right? So, and it's really funny because I can flirt with people whom I'm not into. When I'm into you, I can't flirt with you. Because I'm just paralyzed. If you knew the truth, you would run away. Right? Which is crazy because, of course, that's not how it is. And heaven knows I've been with enough men in my life to know that that's not true. But that's still the first reaction I have. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there was some around food and stuff at home. And like, I wouldn't want to eat around my parents because every meal became like a thing. You know, oh, eating this, no, another spoon of rice. That is something I have only cured my father of like 2 years ago after I forced him to read Jason Fung. Then he's finally shut up about portions. But yeah, it's always been a thing. And it took a lot of work from me and, to be fair, from my parents to get to a place where we have a really great relationship. And I'm very grateful for that. But I still could never express my style the way I wanted to. I knew I was smart. I knew I could do stuff. And I was sort of accidentally raised extremely feminist. Because I don't think my mother was like an ideologically, or my father, neither, none of them were like, I am a feminist the way that we do today. But they also just believe that you do what you want to do. Don't put up with anyone's shit. And my mother herself was quite a powerhouse. I mean, is quite a powerhouse. Something was. God knows. So the role model I was set was that always ask why. You have a brain. You have an opinion. You have the ability to think. Don't just swallow something because someone tells you that. And it is so fucking weird, right? Because I did this with everything in my life except fatness. Which is just goes to show how much this fat phobia is embedded, how deep it goes.
Yeah.
Just today, on a group that Pallavi and I are both part of, somebody said something about diet pills. And I was like, oh God, yeah. And then somebody else said, wait, a doctor prescribed diet pills? I'm like, please, are you crazy? Of course they do it. Doctors do it all the time because they're like, oh my God, fat person, or you have a cold, take diet pills, lose weight, you'll get better. You know, so that's their general approach to everything. Lose weight. So of course they prescribe diet pills. And then I actually remembered that, and this was like when I was 26 or 27, it's not like I was super young. But I was seeing, of course, seeing an endocrinologist because of my fatness problem. Mm-hmm. And he put me on these pills that would stop my body from digesting oil, fat. I mean, I forget what they're called, that kind of medication, but I'm sure you've heard of it. And it causes what they attractively titled rectal leakage.
Oh my God.
But like, that's worth it to lose weight, right?
And that's just the thing, right? He was like, first of all, he didn't tell me it was going to happen. I'm like, doctor, there's like weird like oil coming out of my butt. He's like, yeah, that's the fat that's not being digested. I'm like,
what?
Eat less fat. And I swear to God, I never questioned it for 1 second. I was like, okay, I'm leaking out of my butt. Let me put on a maxi pad. And at least it won't get on my clothes. And I just was like, and now I'll be thin. And today when I remember this, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh my God.
It's completely insane, right?
Totally.
So, yeah, I was like, Pallavi, hey, I finally have one completely insane diet story. Because all my diet stories, all my diet exercise stories are pretty chill, you know. So I couldn't find clothes. I couldn't have my style, all of that, right? And I was convinced I would never have sex and I was completely unattractive to men. And that they were completely right to find me unattractive. And then I would go in this little hamster wheel of, I want a boyfriend, but I'm ugly. I need to lose weight so I can have a boyfriend. But if I have a boyfriend because I lose weight, what if I put on weight again? He'll leave me. Mm-hmm. Can I ever believe that he really loves me? But I want a boyfriend, you know?
It's like an endless cycle.
Yep.
Yeah. So then I ended up moving to New York because I went to do a master's at NYU.
Oh, wow.
That transformed my life because I went from having to buy the largest size of men's pants available in a store to walking into Old Navy and Target. I mean, I was size 18. Like I was a 16 to 18. I even went as low as 14 when I lived in New York. And I was like, clothes everywhere. Right? And not just clothes everywhere, clothes regularly stocked in all the same styles and patterns as they are in the other sizes in those stores. And I walked down the street and men would catcall me. And I remember the first time this happened, I was like, hold on a second. You talking to me? Is there somebody else on the street that you might be talking to? Then, of course, my feminism kicked in and said, catcalling is harassment. Do not look excited about this. But then it was like, oh my God, some random man on the street just actually harassed me. Yay! So, yeah, I was. It was interesting. And that's also when I actually had sex for the first time. I ended up, you know, suddenly being attractive. And it was like, whoa. But then I moved back and I was like, well, there goes my sex life. Except somehow, I think that broke my expectation. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, you know, it's definitely true that we project what we want. What people usually pick up what we're projecting.
Yeah.
We walk around going, I'm an ugly hag. People are like, oh, she's an ugly hag. So that's when I figured out that you have to fake it till you make it. So then I was finding men attractive. They were finding me attractive. I had a boyfriend. Wonderful, all's amazing. Then, of course, you know, life and moved on. And I came to a place eventually where, I mean, I went through a phase where I was sleeping with everyone who would possibly show up and be willing to sleep with me. And in my head, I was thinking, well, I better take it because God knows the next time someone's going to actually want to have sex with me. Maybe don't bite the wire. So then, essentially, I reached a stage where it took me like a couple of years of just not wanting to have sex and being utterly miserable about it to get to the place where I realized that I can't just keep having sex with random people to make myself feel better. This is not how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I kid you not, it was in 2019 when I met Pallavi that I actually woke up to all this upset internal anger, frustration I had around this. So, for all that I'm so like intellectual or anti-discriminatory and feminist and all of that, I would say things to myself like, oh, as a feminist, I've learned to love my body. I can't hate my body and try to change it. Mm-hmm. My therapist is like, well, if that's how you feel, that's fine. But that's clearly not how you feel because you're like crying in the corner saying, I want to be thin to have a boyfriend. So that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I essentially, when I met Pallavi, round up reading Sophie Hagen's Happy Fat, because I used to listen to her on The Guilty Feminist, and I was a huge fan. And that just, it just blew the whole thing wide open.
Yeah.
Between B and researching the podcast and writing Do It and reading that book, everything was like, boom! Suddenly I had the vocabulary to use to express this weird discomfort I'd had. And I didn't even know I had this discomfort. All these years, I was deeply on some level uncomfortable with the fact that I was like, yeah, I'm fat, I'm less. And I never questioned it. Except obviously I did question it somewhere, but I just told myself that I'm not allowed to question it. And why would I think I'd be allowed to question it? Because where have I ever seen a fat woman who's not seen as less, right?
Mm, yeah.
So it just blew my mind.
Yeah.
And like from there, it was like 0 to 5 billion in 2 seconds.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
Hey, hi, hello, friends. It's me, Steph, your resident goddess. I'm here to remind you that it is kind of last call, y'all, for water sessions for this year. I know, we are in mid-July, which means water session season only has about a month and a half left, and my books are filling up. If you want to do a water session this year, please hop on my website, submit your booking form, do a discovery call with me. I now offer free discovery calls before you book so that I can answer questions. We can talk about water goddess sessions, any type of goddess session.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can get comfortable with diving in with me.
Dive in to the water.
That's right.
And to a goddess session.
That's exactly right, Jules.
Both.
You've got it. Both
got
of them.
It. Dive in. Get wet.
Amazing.
Get wet. Sorry.
Anyway, please join me for a water goddess session. If you've been thinking about it and you've been waiting for a sign, this is it, baby. All right. Link in our show notes, in our Instagram bio, all the places. Back to the episode.
It took me a while to actually accept my body, though, mm-hmm. in that sense, mm-hmm. to look at it with joy and not, you know, not just faint horror.
Yeah.
And a big part of that was because we followed Shuglet on the Fatso handle. Mm-hmm. And I would look at those bodies that would basically I know what my naked body looks like. But I'm like, that's my naked body and it's naked and it's in public. Ah!
Yeah. Right?
And then it went from there to, oh, that's a body like mine. Look, that person's got my body shape. And it went from there to, oh my God, what a beautiful photograph, beautiful body. And that was just amazing, you know. And like, I went off on last year in lockdown, I was taking nudes of myself left, right, and center.
Yes.
I mean, you're speaking Steph's language
speaking
right now.
Language, Mia. That's the whole basis of my work is, and that was such a big piece of my healing journey too, is seeing bodies that looked like mine in such a beautiful light. And that's why I do all of the photography work that I do now with Goddess Sessions is like, all of our bodies are very normal and very beautiful and deserve to be seen that way, not just one type of body.
Mm. Yes.
And it really is so helpful because to see bodies of all shapes and sizes and to see them in a way that's celebrated,
absolutely.
You know, because for so many of us, you know, and things are slowly getting better, but for a lot of us growing up, you know, the media, at least over here in the States, the media only showed us like
super thin
bodies. And so when that's all you see on TV shows, in magazines, on advertisements, of course you think, that's what I'm supposed to, that's all they show.
Yeah.
That's what I should look like. And so if I deviate from that, any deviation is wrong, you know? And so it is so helpful to see all different body shapes and sizes represented so we see, oh, okay, yeah, like this is normal. And really, I think a really neat thing that I've started thinking about lately is it's this paradox, I think, of this work that we do of living as more than a body because we are so much more than our bodies. We're so much more than how we look, our intellect, our spirit, you know, our soul, our personality, everything about us is so much more than how we look. And we're not here without our bodies.
Yeah.
And our bodies actually are incredible because they give us life every single day. I'm not here having the amazing privilege of talking to you both without my body, right? Like our bodies are so phenomenal. And so it's this both and of living as more than our appearance and living as more than a body. And also, our bodies are phenomenal. And being able to see our bodies in that light is honestly really important.
Yeah.
Yeah, because actually a turning point for me in 2018 was I was really depressed and I was not able to handle it. And I actually just said, you know what I read about a journaling workshop? I was like, ugh, journaling, but fine. So I went. And in that workshop, she had us do one exercise where she said, for 60 seconds, write down what you want for your future.
Mm.
And I was like expecting myself to write, I want a husband, I want children, I want to, you know, I want to have this kind of a house or that thing I carry with me every day. But what came out, and this was so bizarre, but what actually came out was, I want to be connected with my body again. I was like, what the fuck?
Wow.
And that's when I realized that over the previous 3 years, I completely lost touch with my body. I put on something like 25 kilos. I lost all my fitness that I ever had. And I was literally, it became a sack that I was hauling around with me everywhere I went. And I was like, oh my God. So I signed up with a trainer and I started working out again. And it's made such a difference. It's not that I've lost weight or become thinner, but it's just that I now connect with all the parts of me. I know what they're doing. I understand what's going on. I know when something feels weird. I know when something feels good. You know, like today I worked out, like we did yoga after like a month, I think today. And oh my God, I was so creaky and tight. And like, it was just like, and I was annoyed at myself. So I'm like, you're better than this. If you're not a lazy ass, you know, right? And so it was nice to feel like my goals have shifted for my body. It's like, I want to quote unquote own it. I want to feel it. I want to inhabit it.
Yes.
As opposed to being a fat person who's constantly pretending that, oh, I don't know what that thing is. It's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, which is how a lot of us compartmentalize our bodies when we deal with the world. No blame attaches to us for this at all. So it's the way the world treats our bodies. And what are you saying about representation? Like, two things. First, of course, it's really great. It's really important to see a body like mine out there. But it's equally important that people who don't have bodies like mine see a body like mine out there.
Because
like, I remember when I saw Captain Marvel, I was like, this is so amazing that my nieces will see a superhero who's a woman who doesn't have a love interest.
Yes.
And who just kicks ass and takes names. But even more amazing is that my nephews will see it too. And when a girl is like, I want to be Captain Marvel, I want to be a superhero, they'd be like, yeah, sure, of course, that makes sense. Because Captain Marvel. And that's the thing. Representation is not just for the people you represent, but for everybody to accept.
Yes.
And then the thing that pisses me off about fat people, the way they're represented in the media, is that, sorry guys, this is like a well-polished rant, so it's just coming. So
I love it.
It drives me crazy. Fat people are butts of jokes, weird best friends, sad best friends. Or if they have a main role, like Kate and This Is Us, the entirety of their existence revolves around their not being fat anymore.
Yep.
And it drives me bonkers.
It's like it's the idea of like the good fat, right? Like you're only a good fat if you are constantly trying not to be fat and apologizing for being fat and making jokes about being fat. Like that is the only way to be a quote unquote good fat. Which is bullshit.
Absolutely. Bullshit! In the words of Matthew McConaughey in that movie where
every new person I used to meet, every new person I used to meet in my former life, within the first like hour of meeting them, I would have to introduce the concept of my being a good fat who diets, who exercises, who's trying to lose weight, who knows that, because I have to get, it was the elephant in the room, like, I couldn't have a relationship without letting them know that, hey, you know, I know I look like this, but I know I look like this and I'm suitably embarrassed, ashamed and guilty about it. And I'm working really hard to get out of this. So, you know, don't judge me. But anyway, sorry, Mia. For
oh my gosh, I was the exact same way. You would always have to like sort of try to slip it in like, oh my God, yeah, like I know I need, I'm eating this because I'm so fat. Like, it's like you have to make sure everybody knows that you are trying as hard as you possibly can to not be what you are, which is just so devastating that we think that that's a responsibility on us and also that other people have that expectation of us. Like, it just shows how deeply rooted fat phobia is in all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we're all just so desperate to be seen as valuable and worthy mm-hmm. humans, you know? And when we live yep. in a world that says how you look and your body size is of utmost importance, of course, we want to vocalize, like, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to, like, I'm working out. I'm doing yeah. all these things, like, you know, because we're so desperately wanting people to see us as being good. It's all that external validation of, I need them to see me in this way so that they know that I am good, right? That I am worthy. I am valuable. One of the things that really stood out to me, Amiya, during your story was hearing you say, you know, that you were taught and raised very much to question things and to be really intellectual and to think about things from all sides and to really, like, dive into issues in that way. But the only thing that you never really questioned or critically thought about was, you know, fatness and weight loss and body size and this whole world. And I really think that that is true for so many people, for most of us, right? Like, even the yeah. most, like, intellectual, questioning, inquisitive, curious people, it's like fat phobia is truly, like, anti-fat bias. It truly is so deeply ingrained and just so normalized mm-hmm. that we don't even think to question it. And it's so interesting when we do start to question it. For a lot of people, it can be completely, like, earth-shattering. It's like, wait, yeah. everything I ever thought to be true is now turning upside down. And it can be really hard to, like, grasp at first. But what about, yeah. and what about health? And what about this? And what about that? You know? But it that's just a really powerful example, though, of just how internalized and normalized
it is. And it's scary also, you know, yeah. to question mm-hmm. your identity in some ways. Because I'm a good person because I'm trying to be thin. Yeah. So if I don't try to be thin, am I a bad person? I don't think I'm a bad person, but everyone else tells me I'm a bad person because I'm not trying to be thin. And it's quite hard because as humans, we are very much programmed to refuse to accept anything that might indicate to ourselves that we are not perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Such as, oh, that was my fault. No, it's never my fault. So yeah. that plays a part there too. But, you know, I really think it's also because it was just not something you ever questioned.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's really why the work that we all do is so goddamn important. Because the fact of the matter is that my nieces will always have someone in their life who will question this. Mm-hmm. Right? They will question race. They will question gender. They will question sexual orientation. They will question all these things because all those examples abound in their lives. And now they have this as well. I mean, both of them are like little sticks, but nevertheless. Right? And I'm so glad that it's there. And, you know, that's the thing that when people write to us, the way they're like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one. You think mm-hmm. that you're crazy. Like in my case, I didn't think I was crazy, but I just was like uncomfortable. And I was like, no, that's just because you're lazy and you don't want to lose the weight. So you're coming up with like some second-guessing excuse so that you don't have to do it. And then suddenly the language, the idea was like, and it was like someone turned on the lights on in the room and I was like, oh my God, I can see this everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then now that I talk about it to my friends, if my friends would text me and be like, yo, is this fat for me? I'm like, I mean, no one died and made me chief magistrate of fat phobia.
But it's totally one of those things where yeah. it's like we always say, like, once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you see it everywhere. Yeah. And I've had the same thing happen with my friends being like, oh my God, this thing happened. And I was like, holy shit.
TV shows especially. It's such a good yeah. point. And we actually just talked about this on a solo episode that we just recorded. It hasn't aired yet at time of this recording. Because it is so frustrating. And shows that we love. And shows that make us laugh. And we love the characters. But then, boom. A bomb of fat phobia. And just, it's just so incredibly frustrating. And you're just like, can't you see that is just like really, really harmful discrimination that you're just perpetuating? Like, can't you see that? But they don't, because again, it's so normalized. I mean, I think slowly we're getting better, But it is just so hard. And it's one of those things where, like, again, once you know what we all know, that our body size is mostly genetic, you know, mm-hmm. that we really can't, we don't have control over our body size. We can't actually intentionally lose the weight and keep it off forever. Like, there, it's not physically possible to do in a healthy way. Like, our body size is very much just like our height, you know? Like, so once we know that and we grasp that, it's like, wow, all this fat phobia is just literal discrimination based on how we were born. It's no different than any other discrimination. You know, it's like, really? Just because I was born to and I have a bigger body, I'm somehow less valuable? It's okay for people to assume negative things about me based on how I look? Like, we need people to wake up to that. And, you know, there's so much great things happening in terms of people kind of like now beginning to acknowledge and question all sorts of pieces of our identity, as you were mentioning. But it's like body size is still one of those things that is so it's like it's okay. It's still like okay for people to discriminate against.
I feel like people haven't clued into the fact that it's discrimination and that it's you know, similar to other forms of discrimination and oppression, that it's like, hey, you know, you're also doing that with body size, right?
Yeah.
Like, you guys, you're just cool with that? Got it. Cool. Nope. Okay.
I mean, it is in some ways, it's the final frontier, but it's also in some ways, it's like implicit segregation.
Yeah.
You know, there may not be a sign saying no fatties allowed, but you make every damn chair too small for me to sit on. What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
There may not be a sign saying fat people can only dress a certain way, but you never make me clothes in my size that look different from that. What do you want me to do?
Yep.
Right? So it is an implicit discrimination. It's an implicit segregation. And I mean, I don't use these words lightly because for example, sit on a gigantic bunch of privilege. So, I mean, it hasn't really affected me in any ways. But there are plenty of people who don't sit on that kind of privilege and who are deeply affected by it. And like the thing that upsets me the most about fat phobia, I'll be honest with you, is how it makes people so vulnerable to certain kinds of emotional abuse and manipulation that is just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I still put up with people. I put up with men who treat me like shit all the way to 2019. And I put up with friends who treat me like shit all the way to last month. So, you know, and I didn't even realize it because I thought I quit the shit in 2013. When I was like, I'm not putting up with this shit anymore. But it's just so deeply programmed in you to be like, no, I know he's behaving badly, but you like him so much and he's giving you 5 seconds of his time. And, you know, you're so lucky. You know, he's hot and you're not. And, you know, you should be grateful for what you have. And I mean, in my case, he wasn't actually really an emotional manipulator. He was just a man who had his head up his ass.
Mm.
But there are enough people who end up in really abusive situations as a result, you know? And that's truly awful. And it doesn't have to be a partner necessarily. You put up with abuse from your family. You put up with abuse from teachers, with all kinds of abuse. And it's terrifying because because in some ways you could consider this kind of fat phobia in the way we throw it at children. It's almost like you're grooming them, no? Just that no one calls it that.
Yeah.
And what I've wanted to add to that is, yes, you know, 70% is genetics, but also we are abused by the people who are supposed to protect and love us because they don't know any better.
Right.
They've been told, and they're told by doctors that get your child to lose weight. If I was put on a diet when I was 5 years old and I was not fat, I mean, I was fat in the sense that I had fat on my body, but, you know, the fact that those diets, the fact that there's a set point weight and that the more you mess with it, the worse it gets.
Yes.
And basically, if I were to give anybody, and I'm not somebody who finds fault or puts blame on people, but basically it was my parents' choices to constantly have me fighting against my body, to constantly make me go on diets and exercise and all of that, which made me you know, put on more and more weight. Yeah. That is abuse.
Yes.
There's no two ways about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I was, but I know other people who have been, I was beaten every time I ate the wrong thing that I wasn't supposed to, or, you know, didn't follow the diet, or, you know, stuff like that. I mean, friends of mine realize that if we talk about Pallavi in a certain way, her mother will punish her, you know? So to get back at me, they would go and tell their mothers that Pallavi finished my lunch at school, whereas I wouldn't have touched it. Mm. And the mother would come and tell my mother, and I'd be black and blue for that behavior. Because you are already fat, you're supposed to be on a diet, how could you do that? And so on and so forth. And that is, and even if she hadn't done all those things, just the fact that I was put on diet after diet was abuse. The fact that my parents-in-law, the fact that my husband just went on and on about my weight and why are you eating this? And one more cashew nut, are you sure? You know, and, you know, then my husband, for example, at some point, because of his own emotional stuff, telling me, I'm never going to have sex with you again. And why? Because you're not attractive to me anymore. I was like, I am exactly who I was a month ago. What suddenly happened? And realizing 7 years later that it was a completely different issue, but it was so convenient to use my weight against me, to turn that against me.
Yeah.
You know? So it is, I mean, it is just, it is terrible. It imprisons us. We imprison ourselves because we believe this is true. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe this is true. We, as Amaya said, that we believe they are right to reject us because I'm a lazy person with zero self-control. I go to office and I do an incredible job. I show willpower, I show self-control, I show, you know, I'm not lazy, I'm working 16 hours, but somehow for my body, I'm lazy and I have no self-control.
Yeah.
And I allow everybody to use it against me, you know, and they do it with abandon because according to them, they're concerned. They're taking care of me. They love me. So anyway.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
Really the thing that gets me, even, I don't know, at this point, it makes me laugh hysterically, but with a slight tinge of extreme sadness and horror. The best police for us are ourselves. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the comments we get, the trolls we get on our social media, it's the people who have just lost weight or who are fat and not able to lose weight who are the worst. They say the worst things to us. They will come in and they'll be like, oh my God, you are so irresponsible to be an influencer. You just want to say these things to kill people. People will die. Or you stupid fat cow, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know? And the minute you push the comment a little bit, if you do engage, you'll turn out that, oh, you know, I have been wicked. And I'm just like, what? And I mean, this assumption, right? I joined this really cool WhatsApp group that one of my partners is on. And so I got him to put me on it as well. And I was like, oh my God, Arkubis. So they say, you know, introduce yourself. So I said, okay, this is who I am. I'm currently unemployed, but here's this podcast that I do. And this person has seen the word fat in the podcast name. And so she sends me a message and it blew my mind because she was like, oh, hey, you know, I understand. You know, I've been struggling with weight. I'm now 64 kilos, but I was 104 kilos 2 years ago. So we can talk anytime you need to. And I was like, I did not say this, but I wanted to say, did you even read one sentence in the podcast description?
Yeah.
One sentence.
Right.
Anyway, right. But I was like, well, I mean, I'm all for fat liberation, which is kind of opposed to the idea of intentional weight loss in any way whatsoever. But hey, if you want to talk about fat liberation, I'm always ready. Never heard from her again.
So many assumptions, right? So many assumptions just made. Like, oh, you're like, yeah, it's insane.
I have had that happen to me. People are like, oh my God, I love your content. If you want to do this weight loss routine, and I'm like, clearly you don't love my content. Because if you did,
like, well,
you wouldn't be sending me this.
Yeah, yeah.
The number of people who DM us with, oh, weight loss plan, hi, I'm a really good coach. I'm like, I feel like y'all are not reading my messages. You have basically seen, oh, this reel is trending. This person is fat. Let me tell them I'm here to save them.
I'm like, oh, honey, you're lost.
You're lost. Like, Go home.
Wrong page. Yeah.
You know what? Like, I'm going to start doing that. Thank you for reminding me, honey.
Oh, honey, you're lost.
Now, every time someone comes in there and shits us, leaves some little pile of excrement, I'm just going to be like, oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Oh, honey. You're lost. You came to the wrong place. I'm so sorry.
When I started telling people, okay, so they'd come up to me with these kind of random comments and I'd be like, okay, great. Thank you for letting me know, but I'm cool with my weight and I'm not trying to lose weight. And they'd be like a fish out of water. You
know? Like, yeah, just like, wait, don't what? Know what, what to say.
What?
What? Did I hear that? Okay.
Like, are you having a stroke maybe?
like, and it's just that, it's the whole thing of just like, oh honey, no. Like,
no. I don't have the time to explain all this to you right now.
Oh honey, you're lost.
I mean, the stuff they say, Jesus, like yesterday or Friday or Saturday or something, I put up this very lazy reel that involved me sitting in the recliner with a filter on, mouthing along to something that goes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the tagline was basically, days on which I don't give a fuck about fat phobic society, or something like that. Right? And we put it on Twitter, and this guy tweets back saying, days on which I exercise, minus Monday, minus Tuesday. I'm like, wow.
So
I was just like, let me retweet this and say, hey, thank you for being our stalker. We'll call you if we need an alibi.
We'll call you if we need an alibi.
That's fucking golden.
Clearly, this man is monitoring us 24/7 to know whether or not we exercise, or in this case, just me, because it wasn't even in the video. But I'm like, okay, clearly, my friend, you are obsessed with me and you are watching me all the time. So I guess I call you if I need an alibi, right?
That's hilarious.
Get off.
What a complete douche canoe.
It's such a great example of the invitation that people think that they have to comment on other people's bodies and the assumptions that they make on your lifestyle based on what you look like, which is bananas crazy. Because it's like, you don't fucking know what I do with my time just because I'm fat. You don't have any fucking idea.
And like Pallavi is always saying this. She's like, because we're fat, everything is out there. You get that easy target immediately, you know? And like, I don't know. It just makes me want to use I'm trying to start a trend where we stop using really sexist swear words. So I try to say zuckerturd instead of motherfucker.
That's amazing. So,
all these zuckerturds are sitting around there in their little, I don't know, fortress of inadequacy, where they're trying to tell everyone how they're Superman. And I'm just like, no, honey. No. That's not how it works. Keep it to yourself. No one asked for your turds.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I love you.
It's like, if our body showed the bruises that we got when people said things like that, you know, we'd be covered in welts from top to bottom. Like we'd be in hospital with serious fractures and injuries and, you know, stuff like that. It's just that mental health and mental pain and emotional pain just doesn't show, right? Mm. It's all within and we're processing it within. So people don't see that and they think they can do anything they want, but imagine if someone said that to me and I actually showed the bruise, you know, as he was or she was speaking to me, because that would stop them. And similarly, I mean, we walk around on the street with our stuff hanging out there. So it doesn't matter how sucky, how cruel, how abominable somebody else is, you know, but in a perfect body, that person won't get what I'll get, you know?
Yeah.
It's so hypocritical.
Pallavi, that is such a really like painfully beautiful way to think about the things that people say, the fat phobic comments, and just all of the things people will throw at you about your body that is really none of their fucking business. But to think about all of these, exactly, all of these painful words actually appearing on our bodies as like with the physical ramification of the pain that they cause, I think that's something I really want our listeners to like pause and think about. And think about the things that you say to yourselves causing that kind, yes, of bruising too, mm-hmm, you know, because our bodies are always listening to us. And I think a lot of the times we can be just as bad, if not worse, perpetrators of these harmful, painful comments to ourselves. And like, I don't want to cover myself in bruises.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my goodness. We could have this conversation all day because you both are amazing.
I'm obsessed with you both.
I know. Right? I was like, this is going to be an amazing interview.
Back at you guys. I'm so excited that I finally have a new podcast to listen to.
Yes! So no, we always
it's
like...
It's wonderful listening to the two of you and that, you know, that same chemistry that I think Mia and I,
yes,
have.
And that's right. Like,
it's right.
Right,
Jules, you said this right at the start, right? You said we have the same chemistry.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes.
We literally do.
And I feel like normally when Pallavi and I get invited on a podcast, we're like, listen, we should warn you guys that we talk a lot, both of us. So, you know, if you are planning an hour, please plan two because it will happen. And it always happens, right? Because, I mean, Brute did a video about us that was 8 minutes long, but we shot for 90.
Right? Yeah. So, we are exactly the same.
Thing, yeah. And I'm like, with us, it's like to the power of four.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I was seriously. I've been following you guys on Instagram. I'm like, oh my god, I'm obsessed with you both. Like, yeah. I love your energy. Like, I had to have you on our podcast.
It feels like meeting our twins.
I know. It does.
All right,
so much
we love you.
So much love.
So we always end with our final question.
Let's do it like, yeah, K-pop style.
Oh, what's that?
I don't know what that is.
They do this? Oh.
Oh my god, do I know something cool?
You know something K-pop cool that I don't know about.
Is it K-pop style?
Heart? Oh, is it a tiny
it's
heart?
It's supposed to be a tiny heart.
Oh, that's
so
cute.
You can do it with one hand.
Oh,
I love
my god.
That.
Pallavi is just like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it.
So we're going to end with our final question, which we always like to ask everybody. So if you could go back and talk to your younger self, younger Pallavi and younger Amiya, what is one thing that you wish that she knew?
My turn?
Whoever wants to go first.
I think so.
The system.
I want to go back and tell her to remember that she can do whatever she wants and she can be whatever she wants. Mm. Just like, you know, her mother tells her that you can be anything you want. You want to be a pilot, you want to be a doctor, you want to be a teacher. Who cares if you're a man or a woman? Like, carry your own bags. You want to take the train and go. You want to go out, go out. Get on the bus. Use public transport. Do whatever you want to do. But that's true of everything else. That if you want to run, run. If people laugh at you, it doesn't matter. If people make fun of you, it doesn't matter. You want to go to dance class? Go to dance class. You wanna use your body? You want to learn to box? You want to learn to do karate? It doesn't matter that you're fat. You can do it because I'm telling you here at 40 that I'm doing it now, girlfriend. And believe me, at 20, you had much, much stronger body than I do now. So just stop listening to anything that anybody says. And just get out there and do what you want to do. Just do it. Oh. Don't jump that boy. Yeah. I mean, sure, he may laugh at you and run away. But guess what? You'll have a great story to tell 15 years later when you're doing Never Have I Ever, you know? And the 50% at least of the people who you're into are not going to be into you, like, statistically speaking. So, like,
yeah,
just write it off and move along. I promise nobody is going to remember this except you.
I love it.
I love all of that.
I love
so
it.
Much.
I love it. Just love do it. It. Do the thing.
Do the things. All right, Pallavi.
Do all the things.
Yeah, you know, there's so much I want to tell my younger self that it's difficult to even know where to begin. And I really feel my younger self was stronger than me because I think the resilience she had was incredible. I couldn't take all that she took and still be standing today. I could not. I don't have that. And I just want to go back and tell her that she's enough. And I want to hug the crap out of her while doing it and say, you know, you are enough. You are so enough, not just in your body, but in your mind, in your emotional strength, in your ability to just, you can nourish yourself, you know. You don't have to wait for your mother's approval or your father's okay, or, you know, you don't have to wait for that boy to fall in love with you. You are enough as you are. You are magnetic. You are radiant. You are, you know, and you can do anything. Anything that you put your mind to, you can do, you know. Mm. And if you don't want to do something, that's also okay. Like, I really want to say that to her. Don't have to be so hard on yourself. You don't have to carry around the weight of yourself and the burden of the world.
Yes.
Ain't that the truth?
I want to go and tell young Pallavi, please get into my suitcase right now. Let me sneak you out of your house and come and live with me and my family. Because my God, if you look at who this woman is, with the way her mother treated her when she was young, the depths of love and compassion and goodness that she has, it makes me cry. Can you imagine what she would be if she hadn't been squished for so many years? Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine? We would just be blinded by the radiance. I swear to God, that is the one thing I really want to go back in time and do. Grab hold of her and get her the fuck out of the house. Oh. Sorry about insulting your family. And all, but yeah.
No, please. You are totally justified. The amount of healing Maya has been for me in these last 2 years, she's really held that space for me of a mother, of a nurturer, of a father. I mean, she knows when to discipline me and tell me to shut up about my nonsense. She knows when to love me and cuddle me and, you know, just give me that space. I mean, I've been through a terrible year last year where I tried to go and live with my mother again, biggest mistake of my life. And, you know, actually last year was when I really figured out who my mother was, you know, because till then I was making excuses for her. I was her biggest ally in a sense, because I didn't even realize the manipulation and the games and all of that that lay under all of this, you know. And just Maya being there and showing me the mirror and then just moving in with her. And I swear, I mean, half of my compulsions just vanished the day Maya and I moved in together, because she just let me be. Mm. And when the second lockdown was announced, I mean, I think I spent 2 weeks in bed, but I knew I could because Maya was there.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, so, I had also spent 4 days in the recliner speed reading 13 books. But that was my little...
That's so impressive.
That's amazing. 13. Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you
both so much.
Thank you both so much for being here and for sharing so much of your stories with us and our listeners. This was amazing. And it was so wonderful to meet you both.
And all of our listeners need to go listen to the Fatso podcast.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
So go subscribe. Add it to your list, listeners. You're going to love them, obviously.
And where can all of our listeners find you both on the internet?
Okay. Coming right up. This is my job in this relationship. You can find us at Fatso Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and Gmail. We have a newsletter, fatsopodcast.substack.com. And we also have a website, which is fatsopodcast.com. We also just started a YouTube channel, which is on YouTube, but I don't know the address. Sorry, you'll have to look for Fat Full Stop So Question Mark Podcast.
Love it. Amazing. We'll make sure to have all of that
the
in
blog,
our
the blog.
Oh, and the blog. You have everything.
We have a blog on Medium. It's called medium.com/fat-so. Pallavi, you don't get to do that.
That's usually what happens to me when I try to do this whole thing. So the fact that I could get me a recording.
We'll make sure to have all of that in our show notes so that our listeners can easily access all of your amazing resources.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a have a good night for you all. We're going to have a good day.
Well, I'm off to get some drinks.
So, all right. Have fun.
Oh my
god. Party time, guys.
Party time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you both for coming.
So wonderful.
We love you.
Absolutely.
And thank you all so much for listening to another episode of The Babesmint. We love you. Bye. Thanks so much for tuning into another episode of The Babesmint.
We hope you're feeling a little more at home in your body and inspired as hell.
If you are ready to change your relationship with your body and yourself, we're here for you.
Snag a goddess session with Steph.
Or check out Jules' free masterclass to free yourself from diet culture for good.
The links are on our website to learn more and sign up.
And of course, if you loved this episode, we'd so appreciate it if you spread the love a little bit.
Share the app.
Rate the show.
Leave a review.
Subscribe.
You know what to do. Until next time.
Thanks. We love you. Bye.